नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 1 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड द एडवेंट ऑफ लॉर्ड कृष्ण इंट्रोडक्शन टेक्स्ट नंबर 14 सूता एवं निशम्य भृगुनंदन साधुवादम वैयासकी स भगवान अथ विष्णुरातम प्रत्यर्च कृष्णचरितं कलिकल्मषघ्नम् व्याहर्तुमारभत भागवत प्रधानः सो ट्रांसलेशन सूत गोस्वामी सेड ओ सन ऑफ भृगु शौनक ऋषि आफ्टर शुकदेव गोस्वामी द मोस्ट रिस्पेक्टेबल डिवोटी द सन ऑफ व्यासदेव heard the pious questions of Maharaj Parikshit. He thanked the king with great respect. Then he began to discourse on topics concerning Krishna, which are the remedy for all sufferings in this age of Kali. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada. In this verse, the words, Krishna Charitam Kali Kalmashaghnam, indicate that the activities of Lord Krishna are certainly the greatest panacea for all miseries, especially in this age of Kali. It is said that in Kali Yuga, people have only short lives and they have no culture of spiritual consciousness. If anyone is at all interested in spiritual culture, he is misled by many bogus swamis and yogis who do not refer to Krishna Katha. Therefore, most people are unfortunate and disturbed by many calamities. Srila Vyasadeva prepared Srimad Bhagavatam at the request of Narada Muni in order to give relief to the suffering people of this age, Kali Kalmashaghnam. The Krishna consciousness movement is seriously engaged in enlightening people through the pleasing topics of Srimad Bhagavatam. All over the world, the message of Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita is being accepted in all spheres of life, especially in advanced educated circles. Srila Sukadev Goswami is described in this verse as Bhagavat Pradhanaha, whereas Maharaj Parikshit is described as Vishnu Ratam. Both words bear the same meaning, that is, Maharaj Parikshit was a great devotee of Krishna and Shukadev Goswami was also a great saintly person and a great devotee of Krishna. Combined together to present Krishna Katha, they give great relief to suffering humanity. Anartho Pashamam Sakshat Bhakti Yoga Madhokshaje Lokasya Janato Vidvams Chakre Satvata Samhitam. The material miseries of the living entity which are superfluous to him can be directly mitigated by the linking process of devotional service. But the mass of people do not know this. And therefore, the learned Vyasadev compiled this Vedic literature, Srimad Bhagavatam, which is in relation to the supreme truth. Bhagavatam 1.7.6. People in general are unaware that the message of Srimad Bhagavatam can give all human society relief from the pangs of Kali Yuga. Kali Kalmashaghnam. Chaitanya Nityananda Sahodito Gaurudev Pushvavantau Chitrau Shandau Tamonudau Ugrapyanu Grayevayam Subhaktanam Nirkeshari Keshari Vasukotanam Annesham Ugra Vikramaha. Hare Krishna. So today, the Srimad Bhagavatam is sort of giving us the title music to the coming movie of Krishna. You know, any presentation which has to attract the minds of people should have a good title song or should have a good title presentation. So today, Suta Goswami, his speech is giving that title song. So here we are going to now introduce the topics of Krishna, which is going to destroy all our miseries. Like that. So everyone is awake. Everyone is eager, ready. And the next verse, Sri Shuka Uvacha. And is going to dive deep into the pastimes of the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna, the all-attractive personality of Godhead. Sri Krishna Bhagavan ki jai. So two words here, which Srila Prabhupada also is mentioning in his purport. Actually, Srila Prabhupada in his purport is stressing on the fact that how people in this age of Kali are really in a big problem. And it means us. Believe it or not, we are the people in the age of Kali. And we have a serious problem. And the problem is Kali Kalmash. The problem is that we have been born with defects, technically. In the sense, when we enter the material world, we are defective, four defects. So it is a defective product. Already we have been shelved out from the main store. And we are going to be sold at second sale. On top of that, Kali Yuga is a special age that adds most dents to this product. So then, not just discounted sale, but really cheap price. That's Kali Yuga, and that's where we stand in Kali Yuga. Right? And although it is, humor is good, because it allows us to lessen the impact of the blow. Because the blow is tremendous. The age of Kali is highly powerful. And the blow on our conscience is tremendous. But then humor allows us to somehow or the other tolerate it. So yes, so in that, in this humorous understanding, we have to take shelter of Krishna Katha. Right? And that is what Srila Prabhupada in the purport is encouraging all of us to do. He's quoting this verse from the first canto, 7th chapter, Anarthopashamam Sakshat, Bhakti Yogam Adhokshaje. So here he says, this is in relationship to Kali, there are so much anarthas, but there is this person, Adhokshaj, who's beyond anarthas. That is why he's Adhokshaj. That is why he's using the word Adhokshaj, because he's beyond the anarthas. Anarthas cannot touch him. In Krishna, the vocabulary, if Krishna has a dictionary, if there is a vocabulary and full of words which symbolizes Krishna, then there is no word called as anartha therein. That is Adhokshaj, Krishna. So Sakshat Adhokshaj, that is Sakshat, directly Krishna can mitigate, not just mitigate, but completely nullify the effects of all the Upashamam Sakshat and give solace. Upashamam gives solace. It's like after the fire has been put out, and you still don't feel the smoke and the remaining burnt feelings that is there, the remaining tinges of the fiery experience, that is gone. There is coolingness felt. Upashamam Sakshat. Bhakti Yogam Adhokshaja. But for that, there is one small thing that we have to do, and that is Bhakti Yoga. It is small, it is big, it is all in all. Small word, you know, compared to Sankhya Yoga, Jnana Yoga, it is just Bhakti Yoga. But very powerful. Right? Chakra Satvata Samhitam Lokasya Ajanato. Because the Lokasya, the Loka Asya, these people in this world are Ajanato. They do not have knowledge. Therefore, Vidvams, here Vyasadeva is called as Vidvams, whereas the rest of the community of the entire material world is called as Ajanantaha. There's only one person who is Vidvams. There's only one person who knows, and that is Vyasadeva. And hence, if this knowledgeable person has composed the Srimad Bhagavatam, then Chakre Satvata Samhitam, then we must have faith in the Satvata Samhita. Yes? It is the Samhita, or the great collection, the great song of Satvatas, those who sing the song and those about whom the song is being sung. Satvata Samhita. That is Srimad Bhagavatam. So Vyasadeva is having an anartha in one sense. This is just a technical point, because he's feeling some unfulfillment in his heart. After committing all the, after having composed all the Puranas and the Itihasas, just consider this is the unfulfillment in Vyasadeva's heart. So, it is technically, we will not call it as anartha, but because it is not giving him satisfaction, therefore it is not his artha, it is not his to his benefit. Therefore it becomes anartha. In that sense also, anartha pashamam sakshat, to remove the cloud of depression that is coming into the heart of the consciousness of Vyasadeva, satvata samhitam. So it is a personal thing for Vyasadeva too. And also, it is for Loka Kalyan. Generally, authors, some of them will write something personal, but after some time, they write just to sell off the books and for others. Now, Vyasadeva has compiled a lot of books, so he is a well-established author. So in that sense, it would appear that if he compiles the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is only for others, which attracts them. But no. Anartho Pashamam Sakshat Bhakti Yogam Adhokshaja means he is composing the Srimad Bhagavatam for himself too. And thus he himself has faith in what he is composing. And if a person has faith in what he is composing, then it is Bach or music. Bach is, you know, faith in what one composed. People could not understand while he is composing, but afterwards when the composition came out, everyone is amazed. Like that. This is Srimad Bhagavatam. So two words, Vyasaki means the son of Vyasa, who originally was having some unfulfillment in the heart and then brought out the Srimad Bhagavatam and gave it to his son, who had gone away from his house because he did not want to be entanglement and came back only to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. So here the sum and substance, the summum bhavam of the Srimad Bhagavatam is going to be spoken. And who is going to speak it? Vyasaki, the son of Vyasa. And unto whom? Vishnu Rath, the one who was protected by Lord Vishnu within the womb, who's always protected by Lord Vishnu eternally. In this sense, it means this is what is going to protect him from all the calamities, the oncoming calamity within a couple of days that is going to come, the onslaught of death that is going to come. So these two words are also very, technically they have a nice understanding, Vyasaki and Vishnu Rath, in the context of the 10th canto and that which is going to come. In Mumbai in 1973, October 5th, Srila Prabhupada was speaking on the Bhagavad Gita, 13th chapter, verse 8 to 12, which describes in great detail the items of knowledge. And in that lecture, Srila Prabhupada made some wonderful points. The first point that he made is, we have been discussing for the last few days about the process of inquiring knowledge. An important thing is Acharya Upasana. These are his first words. So for a few days, they have been discussing the topic of how to inquire and get knowledge. There is inquiry. Prabhupada is technically describing the process of inquiry. And he says the first is Acharya Upasanam. So inquiry means Acharya Upasanam. Inquiry does not mean, as sometimes Srila Prabhupada says, that we go to the panwal outside and say, okay, can you tell me something like this? No, it means Acharya and we have to do Upasana. Panipatena Sevaya. There has to be Sevan. So this is the first point Prabhupada makes in this lecture, 1973. There has to be service unto the Acharya, because that is the first thing, for the first important thing, Prabhupada says, an important thing is Acharya Upasanam in the process of inquiry. Then Prabhupada says, knowledge does not mean material knowledge. Actual knowledge means to advance in spiritual understanding. A very powerful statement, because if taken just in a limited context, it means we deride all other knowledge. Because Prabhupada is saying knowledge does not mean material knowledge. Prabhupada is stressing on the fact that any knowledge which does not bring about faith in Krishna is material knowledge, and it is in one sense not real knowledge. However, any knowledge which brings about an advancement in spiritual understanding is real knowledge. So in that sense, anything which is in this world, whether inside the temple or outside the temple, which does not bring about spiritual understanding, is not real knowledge, it is material knowledge. And any knowledge within or without the premises of a spiritual realm that brings about advancement in spiritual understanding is real knowledge. An inquiry has to be about real knowledge. Therefore, in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, we find that there is this avadhuta who has accepted 24 gurus. And they are not found in any society. They are not found in the Gaudiya Math, the ISKCON society, or even Vyasadeva's ashram. They are the earth and the trees and the rivers, the bumblebee, even a lady of questionable character, all gurus. Because real knowledge is that which brings about an advancement in spiritual understanding. So that is the second point Srila Prabhupada makes. So in the process of inquiry, one should inquire about real knowledge, or one should make an inquiry to advance in spiritual understanding. Then Srila Prabhupada says, one cannot become a devotee by one's own personal endeavor. One is under the shelter of Acharya who knows things. So very important third point, he says, one cannot make advancement, or one cannot become a devotee. One can try to be a practicing devotee, but one cannot become a devotee by one's own personal endeavor. One is under the shelter of an acharya. What does it mean? And Prabhupada explains, an acharya who knows things. What does it mean he knows things? Does he know? It means that he knows the scriptures. It means that he knows Krishna. It also means that he knows our heart. The acharya knows where we stand and what we need. And therefore it is the acharya who allows us to become a devotee. Makes us, in one sense, a devotee. Because the acharya knows. He knows things, Prabhupada says. Fourth point is, human form of life is meant for inquiry about Brahman, spirit, not this rice, dal, share market. Very interesting. This is a lecture which comes to around, one A4 page size. If you take, it will be 1.5 pages. And this is towards the end that Prabhupada, very nice lecture on Acharya Upasana, especially on the process of inquiry. So he says this, towards the end he's making this point, coming towards the end, he says, human form of life is not meant for rice, dal, share market inquiry. What does he mean by that? Does Prabhupada mean that, how do we understand this? Because we know that in practical application, there has to be some rice, dal, share market inquiry. For everyone, when dealing in the practical world. So what does he mean when he says, how do we understand that? It means that just as when we go to any institute, when we go to a railway station, generally when we go to a railway station, it is to make an inquiry about our destination. But there will be so many counters, so many other destinations, and they're all attractive. We may want to go to Kanyakumari, but then somewhere along the line, we have also thought of going to Delhi and maybe to Mizoram, Aizwal, and all these destinations are there too. So one may make an inquiry about all those things. One may not make an inquiry about all those things. Depends upon how much time and how much desperate, how desperate we are in that situation. If we do not have time, we immediately take our destination to Kanyakumari and get out. If we have some time, we may make an inquiry. But if we don't make an inquiry, nothing is lost because we have gone with a particular purpose, we have achieved it. Even if we do make an inquiry, but we forget to inquire and take a ticket to Kanyakumari, what is the use of all that inquiry? All of us have been through educational institutions. There are so many things that a young adult, when entering a professional institute, will be exposed to during their study career. So many other inquiries, so many other things will be there, so many other subject matters. But the main purpose of entering the institute is to understand that particular subject matter. And if everything else is for that particular subject matter, time has been well spent. Otherwise, time has been lost. And that will be reflected in a progress card. Therefore, Prabhupada is saying, human form of life is meant for inquiry about Brahman or spirit. This is the main purpose of the human form of life. This is where the main chunk has to go. If everything is done only for this purpose and rice dal is forgotten, not much is lost. However, if that is done and this is forgotten, then the purpose of human form of life is gone. Next point Prabhupada says in that lecture is, what you have learned. You know, someone has gone and learned something from some teacher. Prabhupada says, what you have learned? You cannot learn because you are not at all jigyasu. Now here he is making that point. What you have learned? You cannot learn because you are not at all jigyasu. You do not know how to inquire. And Srimad Bhagavatam today, Parikshit Maharaj is inquired till today and Shukdev Goswami is going to reply. So you do not know how to inquire, nor the guru you have met how to reply. So what you have learned? So how to inquire? What to inquire is the most important subject matter, and from whom to inquire is also very important. And Prabhupada concludes the lecture by saying, I am spirit, aham brahmasmi, servant of Krishna. That is knowledge. And for that, one has to approach Guru Acharya Upasana. So all our rice dal share activity has to come to the conclusion that I am spirit, servant of Krishna. That is knowledge. All our understanding of scripture has to come to the conclusion, I am spirit, servant of Krishna. Not just servant of Krishna, because then servant of Krishna can be attracted to the Mahaprasad of Krishna. But spirit, an essential part and parcel of Krishna, has got the heat and light of Krishna the sun. And does not need or is not dependent on the gratification of the flesh, the senses. Therefore, I am spirit, servant of Krishna, aham brahmasmi. In Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd canto, 6th chapter, 7th verse, the purport, Srila Prabhupada explains something about consciousness, because that verse speaks about the Virat consciousness, the consciousness of the universe, and the individual consciousness. And Prabhupada says, the consciousness, individual consciousness, is divided into three modes of self-identification. As Adhidaivik consciousness, Adhibhautik consciousness, and Adhyatmik consciousness. Wonderful. Three new definitions for this word, some of us know. Those of us who have not heard it are hearing for the first time, will know now. Because Prabhupada has described this in the 3rd canto. Adhibhautik, Adhyatmik, Adhidaivik. Adhyatmik consciousness is self-identification with the body and mind. Adhibhautik consciousness is self-identification with material products. And Adhidaivik consciousness is self-identification as I am a servant of Krishna. And Prabhupada says in that purport, Adhidaivik consciousness is the beginning of purity of consciousness. Is the beginning of purity of consciousness. The Vyasa Sutra or the Vedanta Sutra, there is a sutra there. Jivanam itaranurakti hetur ishvarasya karunyam tad eva tasyam tanna siddhaye. What it means is, the Supreme Personality of Godhead has offered unto the living entity by his karuna, by his compassion, itara anurakti, the opportunity to be attracted to himself or to others. Or in other words, this sutra speaks of independence. Gaur Govind Swami Maharaj, disciple of Srila Prabhupada, he explains this by a word. He uses those words which are commonly used, technical words in Orissa, Bengal, North India. He says, swadhinata or independence is a ratna or jewel. The swadhinata ratna, it is the topmost of all jewel, and it has been offered to us by Krishna because of his mercy or karunya. And he quotes this verse, this scripture. Because it is this independence of swadhinata that differentiates between chetan and achetan, between conscious being and unconscious being or non-conscious being. And we are so lucky and fortunate that Krishna has made us conscious beings, and it is out of his mercy. That is his karunya. We are consciousness, it is out of his kripa. We are soul, that is his kripa, because inanimate objects do not have chetana. And because they do not have chetana, because they do not have consciousness, they do not have independence. So independence is the Lord's mercy. One way to understand, generally we understand, is we have been given independence because Krishna, in love there cannot be force. But this is another way to understand the Jesus' independence through the Vedanta Sutra. The Lord has mercifully made us chetan. It is by the Lord's power, be thou chetan. Not the name Chetan Bhagat or something like that. Be thou chetan means conscious. Have independence to choose. What an independence to choose, to desire. So jivanam anya anurakti itara anurakti hetu. In 15.1 purport Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada explains something about this consciousness or this independence. He says, the reflection of the spiritual world is situated on desire, just as a tree's reflection is situated on water. I mean, go to a reservoir and see the reflection in that reservoir, and try as you might to remove that reflection. How successful are we going to be? Remove water from there and put desire. The entire world is reflected on that. And we try to remove it. How successful are we going to be? This is Urdhva Moolam Adha Shakham. And what a line Prabhupada makes when he says, simple. He says, reflection of spiritual world is such. We don't have to remove. We just have to accept the tree. That's a choice, desire. Krishna is so merciful. Karunya. Yes? So this is Krishna's karuna. Now the living entity has this desire or the independence. What is this desire? Srila Gaur Govind Swami Maharaj, this is from his collection of lectures in the book called Pariprashna, The Process of Inquiry. It is available in a stall. For those of you who want, you can read it. He quotes a verse from the Adi Puran where Krishna is speaking to Arjuna, and Krishna says, Gayanti mama namani, rudanti mama sanvido, tesham aham parikrita, nanya krita janardana. For those who are constantly Gayanti mama namani, chanting my holy names, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, rudanti mama samvido, and crying out helplessly, as Prabhupada says, as a child cries out for its mother, helpless child. That is rudanti. So it is gayanti and rudanti. Tesham aham parikrita. Krishna says, I become available to them. I give my mercy to them. Nanya krit, nor to those who do not cry out for me helplessly. So independence or a desire has to be focused on crying out for Krishna, not simply tears like crocodile. Or as Bhakti Siddhanta says, the tears of the so-called, you know, learned Vedantist simply washes away the conclusions of the scriptures. Not those tears. But rudanti means helpless cry of a child for its mother. Right? Now that desire, that cry, when we make that desire within our heart, what happens? The Paramatma sitting within, he gets ting-tong. A doorbell on the Paramatma's door is heard. That is the only doorbell that he hears. The other doorbells are heard by his energies. Sattva, rajas, tamas. But this ting-tong doorbell, the Paramatma hears and says, okay. And the Paramatma manifests as a tattva darshi or a guru in front of us. Because one is crying out for Krishna. And when the tattva darshi, the guru manifests in front of us, then there is ding-dong. What is that? Process of inquiry begins. Hence, we cannot go to a panwala and make an inquiry.
Prabhupada says. We have to cry out for Krishna. That desire has to be there. Because based on the desire, the reflection will go away or the reflection will stay. So inquiry, according to the inquiry, there are different levels of consciousness. Trees, creepers, they also inquire. The leaves inquire, where is sunlight? They go towards that. Or if there are trees that grow in darkness like the mushroom, where is no sunlight? They grow towards that. And the roots, where is water? Where are minerals? They grow towards. Inquiry is going on, but in a very, very covered way. We cannot hear it. We cannot see it actually manifesting, but does take place. If you could tabulate it over a period of time, then we see that how this inquiry is taking place. This is avritta chetana. Or inquiry made in a consciousness where the consciousness is very much covered. Avritta chetana, much covered consciousness. Then as Prabhupada says in one of his small books, even the birds in the morning, they get up and say, chirp, 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 and evening chirp, chirp. Where is food? Where is my family? Where is this? Where is that? Where is, you know, eating, meetings? So that is called as sankuchit chetana. We can hear, we can see this inquiry to some extent, but it is related to eating, sleeping, meeting. That is all. Or covered consciousness, shrunken consciousness. Then there is the inquiry, how can I do better in life? Where can I get money? Where can I get name, fame, wealth? There is sarkam, then there is nishkam, for a higher purpose. That becomes mukulit chetana, or budding consciousness. That is possible in human's form of life. That inquiry. Then when that inquiry is towards understanding of the actual purpose of life, who am I? There is vikasit chetana, or blooming consciousness. I don't want this, I don't want that. This is not who I am. This is not where my pleasure is. What do I need actually? Kami. What do I need? Who am I? And finally, when that blossoms into the understanding of I am Krishna's servant, that is called as Purna Vikasit Chetana. So, inquiry is at different levels, and accordingly, there are different covered of layers of consciousness by which we are covered. Or, it takes us to different species of life too. Just based on inquiry. In the management world, there are four levels of inquiry described. Generally, people like to go into all these things. There's something known as confirmation inquiry. What it means is verifying concepts by following a procedure. Yes? So, water is composed of hydrogen and oxygen. There's a concept. We go into the lab. We do the process. We get the technical elements. No, hydrogen and oxygen separately. Okay. Confirmation inquiry done. Yes. The second type is known as structured inquiry, following a procedure to find an answer. Like, you know, some of the discoveries like Archimedes. Eureka. He was not following a procedure, but the procedure was followed and an answer was found. Or another example is, you know, this person was trying to find out why malaria is caused. So because of bad water, because of bad weather, finally mosquitoes goes to lakhs of dissected mosquitoes, and one day at night when he's very tired and his eyes are almost closing, dark eyes, he looks into the microscope, there. Followed a procedure, got the answer. This is known as structured inquiry. There's a structure. One follows a structure, a process, and one gets an answer. The third is known as guided inquiry. The teacher provides a question, student design an experiment to find answer. Yes? So teacher is a question is given by the teacher, and the students work on it. And open inquiry, students ask question and then try to find the answer. A group of students come together, they go to a cycle stand in their college and say, if I push this cycle, will all of them fall? Okay, the other one says, let's push it. So open inquiry, answer is there, like that. So of all these four, the one that is called as guided inquiry will be helpful. It is somewhere close enough. It is the beginning of what is known as Pariprashna. The others have to come towards guided inquiry, because in this procedure only a teacher is involved. Others, it is by personal endeavor. So, guided inquiry. So, Pariprashna is really sophisticated guided inquiry. So, Tattvadarshi. In the 11th canto, after Maharaj Nimi, King Videha, has heard from the 9 Yogendras, he praises them by saying, Durlabham manusho deho dehinam chanabhangura tatrapi durlabham manne vaikuntha priyadarshanam. This human form of life is very rare. It is very rare. And chanabhangura, it is lost just like that. However, much more rarer than that is to have the opportunity of a Vaikuntha Priya's darshan, or to meet a Tattvadarshi, one who knows Tattva Gyan or Krishna. Here in the example of Nalakuvera and Manigriva, I would like to give. Generally, a Tattvadarshi cannot be understood just by external vision. Nalakuvera and Manigriva thought Narad Muni lost his way purposefully. So they said, this is not the way of Munivar, your way is somewhere else. But they did not speak in such cultured words then. So Narad Muni cursed them 36,000 years as trees in the courtyard of Nanda Baba. So Tattvadarshi's curse is also beneficial. However, that is not the process of inquiry. I mean, we should not follow in the footsteps of Nalakuvera and Manigriva that let us become trees for 36,000 years and then let us be cursed by a Tattvadarshi. The point is not just that a Tattvadarshi cannot be understood by external vision. At the same time, the Tattvadarshi is so beneficial. Vaikuntha Priya Darshanam Durlabham Tatrapi. It is such a rare commodity. Similarly is the example of Pundarik Vidyanidhi. Gadadhar Pandit thought, why has Mukunda brought me to the house of a Vishayi, a sense enjoyer? So Gaur Govind Swami in this regards gives an understanding. Gaur Govind Swami Maharaj says, a Tattvadarshi has two aspects, mercy and cheating. Depends on what inquiry we make. So externally, if you see Pundarik Vidyanidhi, we see his cheating aspect or the vanchana aspect, that aspect which puts us away, because that is how we came. And that is what we got. And then, by the mercy of Mukunda, when Gadadhar saw the symptoms, he said, I have to get his mercy and discipline. And the only way it is possible is if I become his disciple. If he does taran unto me, if he disciplines me, that is how I can come out of this offense of having considered him by external vision. So, it is very rare, Vaikuntha Priya Darshanam, to have a Tattvadarshi. Shrila Prabhupada ki jai. Tattvadarshi. We are very fortunate. So inquiries must be relevant. They must be genuine. Philosophical. That is related to the goal of life. Insightful. There has to be churning when an inquiry is made. Respectful. And most importantly, submissive. And what should be avoided while making inquiry is no duplicity, no political agenda, no crookedness, free from envy, and free from fault-finding tendency. In other words, just 3 simple qualities we need: simple-heartedness, pure-heartedness, and humility. Some analogies which help us to know how to inquire. Again, from Gaur Govind Swami Maharaj's lecture, he says, supposing the ocean is on fire, the Gulf of Mexico, some part of the ocean was on fire recently. Very difficult to put out that fire. Just imagine if the whole ocean is on fire. Terrible situation, isn't it? Davanal. And someone says, all right, take this pot, small pot, fill it with water, and put out this fire. What are we going to do? And then that pot has got unlimited holes in it. I mean, we can use it as a sprinkler. How are we ever going to put out the fire with a small pot? Right? So we have to understand the intensity of the situation, the desperate, the dangerous situation we are in. Then we'll make the proper inquiry to the Sadguru. We won't ask for a pot full of holes. That won't be our inquiry. Our inquiry will be ghana ghanatvam. The samvartaka clouds, millions of times, over like that. Something that can put out the ocean of fire. A bee is looking out for a good flower to have nectar in it. Supposing a bee finds a juicy nectarian flower, succulent flower, the bee is going to zoom in into it. Right? So similarly, we are like bees. We should be like bees. Saragrahi. We should like bees when we approach, when we make an inquiry. And wherever there is succulence, wherever there is juice, we should just zoom in. Which means there has to be focus and we should try to find fulfillment in an inquiry. A shopkeeper has different kinds of products. When we approach a shopkeeper, the first time the shopkeeper shows a product and says, "This is good for you. This is the best I have. It is only 20 rupees. We look at it and say, no, do you have something better? Shopkeeper says, "I could have, but it could cost 120 rupees. We say, "All right, I'll give 120. Shopkeeper brings out something else and says, "This is a much better product. I only keep it for special customers, for you. The best." You look at it and say, "Do you have something better?" Shopkeeper looks at you and says, sizes you up and down and says, "It's going to cost 520 rupees. I said, "No problem. Show me something better." So he goes into its interior chambers and brings out something worth 520 rupees. Says, "These are for really valuable customers." Similarly, when we approach a guru with a 20 rupee inquiry, that is what we are going to get. We have to be like that and say, "Something better? I have the money to pay for it." And the money to pay is our sincerity, our desire, that reflection to get back to the spiritual world. Gaur Govind Swami Maharaj mentions about a Prem Bhakti Sutra that is attached. It is a thread that is attached to the lotus feet of Krishna, and the other end is in the material world, held by the Sadguru, held by the bona fide spiritual master. And he throws it into deep, dark well of material existence where we are. And all we have to do is the desire to catch it firmly. And therein makes a point. Suppose we catch it firmly and Guru with lot of endeavor after spending 20 gallons of his blood, he takes us out. And then we become deviant, we relax, we go away. We fall down again. Such misfortune. But get up and walk. Again take shelter. Because the Sadguru is again ready to give up 20 gallons of blood. Should make us grateful and repentful. In that mood, make an inquiry. So when Parikshit Maharaj in the first canto is saying, "Tammopayatam pratyantu vipra ganga cha devi dhrita chattamishe dvijopasrishta kuhakastakshakova dashatvalam gayata vishnu gatha." When he had made that comment to all the brahmanas, he wasn't making any simple inquiry. And time and again, he's showing his sincere inquisitiveness. Like here, he showed his sincere inquisitiveness. Once, His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj was with some brahmacharis, maybe 10, 12 years back, and he gave a very wonderful lecture. And after the lecture, everyone was feeling so desperate for Krishna. And in that mood of desperateness, everyone was, in that consciousness. So one of the brahmacharis, told Radhanath Maharaj, that, "Maharaj, why did we ever leave Krishna and come from the spiritual world into the material world?" And Radhanath Swami Maharaj asked the question. He replied, he said, "Why are we still in the material world?" So the inquiry was very superficial. Get the point? So the mind and the body, the adhyatmika consciousness can cheat us. The material products around us, they cheat us. The adhibhut bhautika consciousness cheats us. Only the concept that I am spirit, eternal servant of Krishna, is our hope. And that is our desire. As Parikshit Maharaj's desire is there, then what happens? Pratyarchya. Archana means worship. And here the great Shukadev Maharaj is worshipping Parikshit. Now, Shukadev Maharaj is technically to be worshipped, and Parikshit is worshipping him as Guru. But the Guru becomes so happy, so joyful when proper inquiry is made. He worships, and Prabhupada translates it in the purport as, he thanked the king with great respect. What else is needed? If the spiritual master just thanks us, the Paramatma there feels such a burden Now he's thanked him. He's given him his thanks. Now I have to go there and get it back. So Krishna has to enter the devotee's life. So pariprashna, or inquiry, or shravanam, can lead to perfection. Sometimes in Krishna consciousness, we are attracted to things that the mind, the adhyatmic consciousness takes us. Becoming the humble servant of the servant of the servant. Those words attract us, but the meaning is what? Just as Mrigari, his Aradhya Guru is coming and he sees the ants and worships them. So when we see ourselves as a servant of the servant of the servant of ants, then adhidaivik consciousness. That is where Prabhupada says in the purport to the third canto, that verse, beginning of the purity of consciousness. It's the beginning of the purity of consciousness. That is the goal of Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Any questions? Comments? Thank you very, very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.